I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Vinny and Haney on your home for sports. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, 3:05 first pitch. Orioles take it on the Guardians series finale. Orioles win. They win the series. Finish 3-3 in the homestand. I guess you take it. Have no choice. Better than 2-4. Here to talk about that. Lita Ford. How about that? Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Joining us on the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. He's our colleague, of course. Baltimore Baseball Tonight, which is brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Longtime voice of the Orioles, Jim Hunter. Jim, good morning. What's going on?
How you doing there, partner?
I'm doing all right, Jim, and appreciate your time as always. We'll look at last night's win in particular before we get to the long-term ramifications of everything that has happened here as of late. But Kyle Gibson picks up his seventh win, had that stretch where he had lost three starts in a row where he, I think, literally got zero run support. He was brought in for all intents and purposes to replace Jordan Lyles. I think he's done that and then some. Are you surprised at how effective Kyle Gibson has been at the top of the Orioles rotation?
You know, Bob, I'm really not surprised because they're getting what they thought they were getting when they signed him. You know, he's a veteran who knows how to navigate. He doesn't get too concerned with men get on base. And last night, I mean, those early innings, he was holding him down, three up, three down, three up, three down. But he understands that if something is working and or isn't working, you adjust. And he works very good with Adley. They seem to always be on the same page. I would have liked to have seen him given the chance to finish the sixth inning. You know me about that.
Right.
It seems all of a sudden there's a little bit of a jam, and Brandon's on his way to the mound to make a pitching change. And last night the bullpen, except for Bautista, they all had trouble with their command. But he's a stopper, and they really needed that game last night because they had dropped two out of three over the weekend, and you know they lost the opener on Monday on Memorial Day. They needed that win to have a chance to win the series today, and that's why you bring in a veteran like that, because he is the stopper, and he did that last night. And he's now won three consecutive starts when the Orioles have needed it most, and his ERA combined in those three starts is 1.83. So he certainly is giving them what they had hoped for, maybe even more so.
Now, Jim, we look at Gunnar Henderson last night. The DH drove in three runs. In his last couple of weeks here, 16 games since May 13th, hitting .280 OPS, well over .800 right now. So what are we seeing differently from Gunnar Henderson now making productive contributions at the plate?
Well, I think what we're seeing is he's finally hitting the ball where they're not going to catch it. You know, early in the year, you know, we talk all about the numbers and what is, you know, he's below 200 there for a while, but he was hitting in some tough luck. I still like his batting eye, and that double in the first inning in the bottom of the first was really big because it came with two men down, hit it over the right fielder's head, and he was able to get the Orioles an early 2-0 lead. But even more so, his RBI single to left field, Bob, I loved how the fastball was on the outer part of the plate, and instead of trying to do too much with it, he just had a nice level swing and slapped it into left field for a base hit, an opposite field hit. And that shows me that he's seen the ball very well. We know about his batting eye. We know how many walks he picks up. But I think you're beginning to see that he understands who he is, and he's over the below the Mendoza line thing. So he's going up there with confidence. And last night, you know, the double in the first and the RBI single, pulls the double opposite field base hit. I think he understands that that's what he has to be. And I think he's just going to continue to get better and better and better because he has the ability. He's always had the ability, and now he's having some success, and he's learned not to hit it right at a guy.
Jim Hunter joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jim joins us every Wednesday. Jim, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. And look, we were having conversations on BBT and on the station about Felix Bautista versus Cano, Cano versus Bautista, Finkel versus Einhorn, and everything that went along with it. And I got to admit, I was kind of like, hey, this Cano guy looks pretty damn good. Still does. But as Felix Bautista kind of calmed us down a little bit, those of us who thought he was getting a little shaky at the back end of the bullpen.
Well, I really never thought he was shaky. I mean, you know, you're never going to be perfect. And he's been next to perfect. I mean, he's been – last night he was so good. He actually – brought some stability back to that game for the bullpen because the guys that preceded him, they all struggled with their command. And then he comes in and, you know, he pitches the one inning. He had one strikeout, which is rare for him. Usually he has more than that. In a save the other day against Texas, he had three strikeouts. He struck out the side. But I never thought, even though Cano was pitching as well as he was, and, you know, he's come back to the pack a little bit as of late, and that's in part because of his command. He's missing, he's falling behind hitters, and it seems what he misses in the happy zone. But he's still going to be a weapon going forward, but I love him in the setup role, and I love Bautista because Bautista now has this this era about him where the opposing team knows, uh-oh, this guy comes in, he's 1-on-1 in the zone, and he's got that splitter that falls off the table. And last night, by getting ahead of hitters, he was able to bring that split into play. I've always been a fan of his, and, you know, closers aren't going to be perfect. It's part of the game. You know, they give scholarships to the other team as well. So I like having a real good setup, man. I remember in 97, my first year here, the wire-to-wire year, Davey Johnson had three different options to pitch the seventh or eighth inning to lead into Randy Myers in the ninth. And I think Brandon Hyde has similar in the same, but Cano is clearly the desired setup man.
Jim, it seems like Baker's been struggling, and it just doesn't seem like Hyder's got a ton of confidence in him because he had a quick hook last night. You know, when I think when he saw that he doesn't have a lot of stuff, I'm getting him out.
Well, and that's Brandon's MO. I mean, he tries to minimize the damage. And the bullpen has been so good. I mean, they've slipped a little bit. They're only fourth best in the major leagues now with their bullpen ERA. But he has so much confidence in the bullpen and the options that he has that he's not afraid to use the hook. Vinny, I mean, he'll go out there and, you know, let's not forget this team is so into the analytics. They have all these charts that we're not privy to. The next guy coming up, whoever he has warming up in the bullpen, was done on purpose, if you will, because if it got to that situation, the analytics say take Baker out, get the next guy in. You know, and Coulomb has been so good this year. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, last night he had no idea where his breaking ball was going, and he kept falling behind hitters and wasn't his usual self. But you know, that's what this team does. They have these charts. They watch what they're seeing, and if a particular reliever is struggling, they have confidence that the next guy coming in is going to put out the fire. So I wasn't surprised that he yanked him when he did. But again, I wish you would have left Gibson in to get one more out in the sixth inning, and then as you go to the seventh inning, you hand the ball to a reliever with nobody on base.
Hey, Jim, it looked like watching that game, Varvara especially, he just looked overmatched at the plate last night. I mean, his last time when he struck out, it was like, you know, wasn't even close.
Well, he's having a decent year. I mean, usually he puts the ball in play, and he's another one of the hitters that understands who he is, that he has to use the entire field. He's certainly not a power hitter, although he can hit the ball out of the ballpark. But, you know, he's a role player, And last night they tried him in left field. I'm sure Hicks will probably get a start today because they didn't sign him not to play him. I guess they wanted to wait a day. He just showed up yesterday, and he wasn't in the lineup. It'd be interesting to see, does Austin Hayes go back to left field and Hicks play center field, or does Austin stay in center field and does Hicks play left field? But Vavra's a role player. You know, he's going to have matchup problems here and there. But I think they know how to use him, and I really believe he understands the type of hitter he is. And, you know, you're going to have nights like that, Vinny. I mean, sometimes the matchups don't work, and if you're facing an elite relief pitcher, especially late in the game, that guy's going to have some good stuff. And that Indians closer who came in late, you know, he's like Batista. He touches 100, and that's tough to get around on.
Yeah, Class A leads the majors in stolen bases, in taking bases away.
They won't let him get on base.
That's
they
right.
Want him to get hurt.
All right, Jim, real quick, no Mullins for the foreseeable future, you know, weeks, not months. How do the Orioles improvise and adapt without the table setter at the top of the lineup?
Well, they're just going to have to get by. I mean, I heard Brandon's pregame press conference last night, and he said, look, it's part of the game. Players get hurt. You hope it doesn't happen to you, but it happens to everybody. You know, I mean, look how often the Yankees play without Giancarlo Stanton. I mean, it's something they're going to have to do. Hopefully, it'll only be 4 weeks as opposed to 5 or 6 weeks because he's certainly an important player. I mean, when he went down in the game on Monday, he's leading the team in RBIs, and he's a leadoff hitter. So he's certainly going to be missed. He plays Gold Glove center field. But this is why you have depth, and the one thing they've done a very good job of in this organization is adding depth. And I thought it was a prudent move, even though Aaron Hicks was mightily struggling in New York. The Yankees are paying the most of his salary, so maybe he can be revived in Baltimore. You know, he's out of that spotlight in New York, where even though he had that one big year that got him that huge contract, it obviously was a mistake by the Yankees. But sometimes you get out of New York where, you know, the scrutiny there, the Yankee fans were almost expecting him to screw up, and that could play on your mind. So maybe he'll come down here and help, but he's certainly not going to replace Cedric. You just have to hope that the rest of the team contributes and you get contributions up and down the lineup. I mean, look at what Santander is doing in the month of May. I mean, he's got back-to-back three-hit games. He's batting in the month. What is he batting in the month? 344 in the month, which is incredible. So what you have to hope is when Cedric's out, that somebody else picks up the slack. And, you know, Anthony had that big bases-clearing triple last night that drove in three, and that's what you're going to need. So hopefully he'll be back sooner than later, but it's certainly a big loss.
He's Jim Hunter, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Jim, we appreciate the time as always. Enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday.
Oh, woman crush. I got to think about that.
There you go. All right, Jim.
All right,
appreciate
guys.
It. See you.
Have
Jim Hunter. It's Vinny at 80-105-7. The Fan. We'll come back, whip around, take you around the world of sports. Not a lot going on last night, to be honest with you, but some historic stuff took place, and we'll set you up with that. Jared Dubin's going to be joining us, CBS.com, CBSSports.com. Talk some NFL with him. OTAs are happening. For instance, Aaron Rodgers Limited. Mm-hmm. With the Jets, dealing with a quad. Nothing to see here, please disperse, but you get the drill. So we'll talk to Jared about how tough the AFC is and where are the favorites in the NFC South. I guess we're leaning towards New Orleans just by default, but could be wrong.
They have the best quarterback right now.
It's Derek Carr, and are we really saying much about that? We'll get in all of that and more of the fun out there, but Nolan McGrath.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Vinny and Haney's Whip.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
1057 The Fan.
Top of the whip around, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Since the Stanley Cup playoffs are down to the final two, no games last night. Nope. Stanley Cup final starts Saturday. It is the Panthers, an 8th seed at Las Vegas, the Golden Knights, in their second Stanley Cup final in 5 years. And, you know, I saw, it, believe it was Mark Messier on ESPN, picked Florida to win because they're kind of just on that little golden run that I don't even know if the 87 Edmonton Oilers could beat them. That sort of thing.
Well, I think, you know, one of the reasons that Florida looks good, Bob, is Tkachuk leads in scoring in the playoffs, and he's with Florida. Bobrovsky is playing the best of any goalie in the league. So, I mean, you have the best forward and the best goaltender. I can get that. I can understand why, you know, Messier would pick Florida.
Now, with the Bruins not in it, we'll throw them out the door because, of course, they were the set the record for points in a season. But what other team disappointed in the postseason went quietly? Because I thought Toronto, and I'm not a hockey expert by any stretch, but once they got through the first round, I'm like, okay, they're off to the races.
Yeah, then they ran into Florida.
And then they went kind of quietly in the second.
Yeah. I would say, Bob, Edmonton. You know, because they got the two highest scoring players every year, and they just can't. They can win one playoff. They can't ever. They don't ever have enough goalie. And I don't know if it's that they're paying two guys so much money that they have no depth. The biggest thing that Vegas has, they have four good lines. You know, and that may be the thing that Vegas gets over on Florida is the depth. Last game against Dallas, Vegas's fourth line scored two goals. You know, so, I mean, that's what Vegas has going for them.
NBA Finals start tomorrow night. You can hear it on 105.7 The Fan. Miami, 8th seed in the East. Take it on Denver, the number one seed in the West. Mike Malone even said at this stage, it's not about seeds. It's down to two teams, and who's going to be the first one to win four games? That's who's going to cut down the nets, well, the college term, but get that O'Brien trophy. I had somebody ask me this yesterday about, hey, well, they'll be like the first 8th seed to ever win the NBA championship. And I had to point out old guy stuff. It's like, you know, 16 teams didn't always make the NBA playoffs. You know, there are some teams that, you know, got in, like the Bullets, for instance, 45 years ago, they played that little mini series against Atlanta, that 2 out of 3. Then they upset the Iceman and the Spurs, that Dr. J and the Sixers, and that beat Seattle to win it. So they weren't exactly a high seed in the current format the way that it is. Yes, Miami would shock the world, but you just talked about with the Panthers. If Miami beats Denver, am I stunned? Absolutely not.
Right.
No way. I mean, they have a stud in Jimmy Butler. Bam Adebayo's beast. I mean, they have some. Caleb Martin, he played out his mind the other night against Boston. I mean, they have two stars. And two stars, that's enough to get it done. Now, if Jamal Murray plays like he did against the Lakers, I think Miami's in trouble here.
Bob, I looked up, like, Denver's won every game that they've played this year, but they're all close games. They're all within like 4 or 5 points. So I'm in agreement with you. It's not going to go 4-0, and it's going to be like, oh, that sucked.
Mm-hmm. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. It's the whip around. here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Before we get to what happened in sports history on this day, we don't normally do birthdays, but in the world of sports, there's a pretty significant one that took place or taken place, and it's a guy that a lot of old head Baltimore fans still don't like to this day.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Pass to Richardson. He has the ball. The game is over. The New York Jets are the world champions. They have upset the Baltimore Colts and beat them handily here today.
Kirk Gowdy, the great Kirk Gowdy on the call, Super Bowl III Colts, Baltimore Colts, Don Shula, head coach, Chuck Knoll, an assistant coach on that team. Colts were 18-point favorites, and Joe Namath, as you heard, said, hey, I guarantee you we're going to win the game, and they did. Some to this day still think the fix is in, but Joe Namath turns 80 today.
Wow. Damn.
Yeah. Broadway Joe. He's a guy that, growing up, you saw him all. The Jets sucked most of the time I watched him.
Yeah.
But he was on TV commercials. He was a rock star among rock stars. Biggest rock star, sports stars of the 70s was Ali. And then you can make a strong case Joe Namath was number two.
Yeah. I mean, Bob, you know what was funny was I was doing New York radio, and I was filling in for Michael Kay. And the first guest that I ever did doing radio, Joe Namath.
Broadway Joe, 80 years old. Crazy. Happy birthday, number 12, who wanted to go to Maryland, then wound up at Alabama.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. And the rest is history. This day in sports history, May 31st, 1983, Sixers beat the Lakers 115-108, sweep the finals. 4-0, Moses Malone, MVP, 24 points, 23 boards. Moses Malone, speaking of wanting to go to Maryland, signed with Maryland. Then the Utah Stars came with $1 million, and he went right to the pros. First guy to go from high school to the pros. If he would have came to Maryland for a year or two, Lefty Driesell would have been in the Hall of Fame 20 years ago. 1987, Edmonton beat the Flyers 3-1. They win the Stanley Cup in 7 games, their third Stanley Cup in 4 years.
I'm guessing
11 Hall of Famers on that team.
Yeah. Yep. Gretzky, Messi,
Yuri Curry, Paul Coffey, a lot of dudes on that team.
Yeah. And if you just look at playoff points, Bob, the things that Gretzky did, it's like unheard of, the stuff that he did.
Orioles won 4 games on this date in May 31st. All of them were super terrific and exciting, but we're coming up on it. We got Jared Dubin joining us next. CBSSports.com talks of NFL with him. Ravens, one of the favorites in the AFC, and rightfully so, but is Jared buying that hype? We'll talk about it next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Taking sports to a whole new level. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Anything you want to hear? Favorite female artist or band? Send your request. Plus, for text line. We're at 583-1057. Ravens back at it. OTAs this week. Open to the media tomorrow. Here to talk about the June portion, which starts tomorrow, of the NFL quote-unquote offseason, looking at the training camp and all the fun stuff leading into the fall. From CBSSports.com, joining us on the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline, let's bring in Jared Dubin. Jared, what is happening? Good morning. Welcome to us here. Welcome to Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Let's talk about the Ravens, obviously, since we're in Baltimore. And it's not like they're a team coming off a 2-15 looking to ascend up the standings in the AFC North. They made the playoffs last year, gave Cincinnati all they could handle, and then some lot will say they probably should even won that game. But they re-signed their quarterback, Lamar Jackson. That drama has now come to an end. They brought in Odell Beckham Jr. They drafted Zay Flowers. They're going to get Rashad Bateman back, hopefully for 17 games or close to it. Dobbins and Edwards are now a year removed again from knee issues that cost them all of 2021. So as we say around these parts, and a new offense coordinator on top of it, Todd Monken, as we look at this Ravens offense, are there any more excuses for why they can be rather tepid? They sucked in the red zone last couple of years. Is this an offense, Jared, that has the potential to be of the explosive variety this year?
I think it absolutely does. Like, anytime Lamar Jackson is your quarterback, you have potential for explosion because of what he brings as a runner and also because of what he brings as particularly a downfield passer. I think that's the strength of his game as a passer. Over the past couple seasons, they've had, you know, real liabilities in the wide receiver room where they haven't been able to stretch the field other than with Mark Andrews up the seam. Now, hopefully, if you can get Rashad Bateman back, that's, you know, a guy who can win on the outside. Zay Flowers, I know a lot of people peg him as sort of a slot-only guy. I think he was at his best working on the outside at Boston College, even though he doesn't have a ton of size. You know, Odell Beckham, obviously, is coming back from the injury. You don't necessarily know what you're going to get from him, but, you know, they brought in Nelson Agholor, who has some speed as well. They still have Andrews. They have Isaiah Likely, you know, as another tight end option in there. The running backs, like you said, are, you know, another year removed from their respective ACL injuries. I mean, I think that the only thing that probably stops this team from being at least a competent offense or better than that is injuries. You know, whether it's Lamar or the running backs or Odell or Ronnie Stanley, who I think played 10 or 11 games last year. Those are the things that can, you know, sort of hold them back, I think.
Hey, Jared, there's a lot of experienced pass rushers still on the market. When do you think we see them sign up with teams?
Yeah, I mean, it could be, you know, sometime in these next couple weeks, particularly tomorrow after the post-June 1st cut deadline where teams will get, you know, some additional cap space back. That could, you know, free them up to sign some of these guys that are still out there. But sometimes those guys want to take, you know, until they see what happens in training camp to see where there are going to be openings and where they can sort of get in the rotation to be like designated pass rusher types rather than just be a depth guy or a camp body. Sometimes those guys will want to, you know, scope things out and see where they can get more playing time or where they can get more guaranteed money.
Hey, Jared, what do you think about where does Hopkins end up? And what do you think? Sounds like Dalvin Cook may be on a move after tomorrow, too.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds sort of like the Chiefs or the Bills for Hopkins. I think both of those destinations would make sense. Kansas City sort of showed last year that it doesn't necessarily need like a true, you know, quote unquote, number one wide receiver to have an explosive offense. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't go get one if he's out there and affordable. The Bills, I think, could still, even after adding Dalton Kincaid in the draft and Deontay Hardy in free agency, I think they could still use another receiver. I think we saw last year Gabe Davis isn't necessarily like a high quality number two wideout. And if you added Hopkins to that room, it brings a little bit of a different skill set, a different body type with the way that he's able to win in contested coverages and things like that. Those two teams seem to make a ton of sense, but really any team that needs a wide receiver should be interested. He's a free agent. All it costs is money.
Hey, Jared, what do you think about Detroit? That one kind of intrigues me. I think that'd be a really interesting move for the Lions.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think that would be great. You know, they are another team that sort of needs that outside ball winner type of guy if they're looking for a specific kind of wide receiver. And, you know, Hopkins has been as good at that as anybody in the NFL during the time that he's been in the league.
Now, what Deshaun Watson do you think we're going to get this year?
I mean, your guess is as good as mine. Like, he didn't play, obviously, for, you know, almost two full seasons. And I'm trying to think of the last player we saw that sat out for that long, regardless of the reason, and came back and was the same player ever again. Like, it seems like because he wasn't sitting out with an injury that he should just be able to recapture the type of player that he was. But that's a long time to not play football and then come back and be the player that you were before. Obviously, last year he was pretty terrible, and he has been revealed to have done some pretty terrible things as well. And I just don't know what to expect from him actually on the field, because we haven't seen somebody sit out for that long and come back and play at a high level again.
Jared, how do you see the AFC North?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Bengals and the Ravens are probably the two best teams. I think Cincinnati, you have a little bit more trust there just because of the quality of their passing game, and that tends to be what wins in the NFL these days. But, you know, if Todd Monken can get the passing game back on track for the Ravens, and if everybody stays healthy, I think they've got a pretty good shot.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com, joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Jared, before we let you enjoy the rest of your Woman Crush Wednesday, reading your stuff from yesterday, old John Gruden, speaking of somebody that's been out of the league for a couple of years, he's back in the news cycle working with the Saints. Dennis Allen, obviously we get the connection with Derek Carr there, but is this a move that has brought some heat towards New Orleans, given the way that John Gruden resigned, I guess in shame, if we're looking for that one?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen a ton of heat yet. I think it's just sort of an unnecessary move. There are plenty of people you can consult about, you know, how to succeed on offense and how to succeed with Derek Carr or how to succeed in that style of offense. I mean, there's a reason that there haven't been really any rumblings at all about John Gruden coming back into the league. But, you know, I guess the Saints don't necessarily care all that much.
Jared Dubin, CBSSports.com. Jared, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of your week, and hopefully we'll talk to you before the season begins and we get into predictions and all that fun stuff, because I'm saying the Ravens are going to go 16-1. Nah, I'm just joking. Who knows?
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good day.
All right, here's Jared Dubin, everybody. Thank you, Jared. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, trip through the Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, news from the Nest coming up at noon. Going to hear from Mike McDonald. Going to hear from David Ajabo and Adafe Owe, two key guys, we think, for the Ravens defense in 2023. Buy or sell at 12:15. Where's the midweek money? And Tony Penti, we go down on the farm, talk some Orioles with him, OrielsHangout.com. Old Jordan Westberg hit another home run last night. What else is new?
Sports with balls. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. This is the Pointer Sisters, right? He's so fine. Blows my mind, something along those lines.
He's so shy.
He's so shy. Yeah.
That's Lamla.
He's so shy. Blows his mind. Oh, trust me, Landlin's going to be in the crosshairs coming up at 2 o'clock. Inside Access. Live from Bowie, by the way. Speaking of Bowie, in tribute to our late great friend Bubba and Bowie, I got that lineup. Adam Frazier leading off at second base. Adley Rutschman behind the plate. Shane Bieber, by the way, pitching for Cleveland. Anthony Santander, three hits last night. Batting third, your DH. Mountie, here you go, Jerry. Cleaning up at first base. Gunnar Henderson, been raking a little bit here last couple of weeks, batting fifth at third. Aaron Hicks, who's 1-for-8 with a homer against B. Iber. He's batting sixth at center field. Ryan O'Hearn, we mentioned him earlier.
Yeah.
He's got a track record. He's in right field. Georgie, Jorge Mateo's at shortstop, batting eighth. And Ryan McKenna, the Baker Mayfield lookalike, will be in left field for the Orioles. Keegan Aiken will be the opener, it looks like, for the Orioles today.
Oh, really?
With Austin Voth getting the depth, I guess. So, there we go. That's your Orioles lineup. Keegan Aiken, who, of course, was drafted and developed as a starter. He was the Jim Palmer Minor League Pitcher of the Year a couple seasons back. Has transitioned more into a, you know, setup man, long relief role, and has excelled at it for the most part. So, and we'll see what he can do here against Cleveland until Austin Voth takes over. Remember, the Guardians come in here as one of the worst offensive teams in baseball. Still, what they put up, what, 10 runs in two games? Mm-hmm. When they've actually scored less runs, let me just confirm this. Let's see here. Yeah, they've scored 10 less runs than the A's have this year.
Wow.
A's beat Atlanta, by the way, last night. First two-game winning streak of the season. And they have five, I heard it on SportsCenter this morning, Neil Everett. They have five walk-off wins. Five of their 11 wins are walk-off wins, which is tied for the Major League lead. So when they beat you, it's a crushing defeat at that.
Yeah.
Braves are scuffling a little bit anyway, but that's a them thing. That's your Orioles lineup. 3:05 first pitch. We're going to talk more Orioles baseball with Tony Pente coming up at 12:30. But let's bring Nolan McGraw in. Quick draw, what's happening?
That ace stat there, that's funny. I wonder if teams, they find themselves in a close game with them late and they get like tight. They're like, oh my God, we can't lose to the A's. And that they choke it. And that's how the A's are winning all the walk-offs.
Well, they've only won 12 total games.
Right, I'm just saying, you know, they get there like, oh my God, we're, you know, it's a tie game in the ninth against, like last night, it's 1-1 in the ninth.
The ghost of Burt Campanaris comes back somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Bob, just think if they lost those games, you know, because they'd have gone, you know, the walk-off, they'd have 6 wins the year.
Let's do some math here.
6,
which is not a strong score.
They're going to be all-time worst team.
I could do my Gazintas a little bit. So they're what, 12-45? That's 57 out of 162. So what do we got going on here? 57, 162. There's 105 left. Does that sound right?
Mm-hmm.
So the all-time worst record is the 62 Mets, who were an expansion team at that time. And they only won 40 games?
So I just did take it back to elementary school here, cross-multiply.
Oh, boy, I don't even know what that means.
That's easy. You've probably done it, you just don't know it.
Hey, look, I used to get A's in geometry way back when. Yeah.
What happened there?
Bob, brain cells being...
Norm, I got C's and D's in geometry.
Look where you ended up.
Right. Here. That's right. You're a rocket scientist.
We're all in the same seat.
That's right.
They're on pace for 34 wins.
Yeah, the Mets of 62, 40 of 120. I mean, these as bad as the 2018 Orioles were, what were they, 47-115?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Futility. But there you go. So we congratulate the Oakland A's, and they were my second favorite team when I was a kid because I love Reggie. I love Vida Blue, Sal Bando, all of those guys, yeah. Catfish.
The White Shoes.
Oh, man, they were cool. Oh, they were like the Rebels.
Joe Rudy.
Joe Rudy was the man. Burt Campanaris. Yeah. Bill North. Claude L. Washington. Gene Tennis.
Oh,
Ken Holtzman!
Tennis like came out of nowhere and hit all those home runs.
And the 72 World Series. Yeah, our boy Ross Grimsley pitched in about 5 of those games, by the way. 72 World Series. But we're not here to talk about Ross, who actually had a great 72 World Series. We're here to talk about Nolan McGraw. And he likes electricity, and he likes to bring the fun. Let's elaborate. Fun house.
Quick draws. Fun house. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, give them a call today. 443-348-8812.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
First one here from John in Westminster says, I would like that Cleveland right fielder to sign with every Orioles opponent for the remainder of the season.
Who, Brennan? Yeah, you misplay it. Things happen. Hey, Santander had one of those fly over his head later in the game, too. Even the announcer was like, well, I don't think he can jump 15 feet in the air because he just kind of stood there. Gave it the old Michael Jordan try, but just a little bit short. You know, sometimes crack of the bat, you misread it and you get burned.
Another one here says, great offensive outburst last night was unexpected, but Shane Bieber, as tough as it gets in the American League, could be another shutout coming our way this afternoon.
You want to make a wager? Where's Q? I need some beer for this weekend. I will go ahead and guarantee, Joe Namath style, since it's his 80th birthday, the Orioles will not get shut out today. Guarantee. That's about the extent of the guarantee.
All right. And how about one more here? Says the addition of Aaron Hicks is bottom feeding, but maybe, just maybe, he can have a Franchy Cordero type of revenge moment if he's still with the team when the Orioles face the Yankees in early July.
Franchy Cordero? Yeah, because he gave the Orioles the business, then wound up back in the minors. We'll see. They play the Yankees right before 4th of July weekend, as a matter of fact, up in the Bronx. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Mullins won't be back by then. You never know. Maybe he's a fast healer. We'll talk to Scott Adams about the severity of the right, abductor groin thingy there.
Yeah.
Where he pulled up lame, if you missed the play on Memorial Day, running out of grounder. Even Hyde said yesterday he sacrificed a hit
for weeks.
Yeah, for weeks instead of months. So we'll see how long he'll be out. We'll talk to Tony Pente about what's going on down on the farm and who the next center fielder type guy is outside of Colton Cowser. So stay tuned for that. But who knows? I just hope Aaron Hicks gets a hit today. We can worry about what happens a month from now.
He hits a home run.
A month from now. And he does. He's 1-for-8, 7 Ks, but that one hit home run against Bieber. When we come back, we got news from the Nest. Go to Couch of Money midweek style with Buy or Sell. And then Tony Pente, OrielsHangout.com, American League East Report, NFL Lunch. Mark Long covers the Jacksonville Jaguars for the Associated Press. Jacksonville made the playoffs last year, as I predicted. One of the rare occasions that I was right. Are they ready to take the next step? Can they do it? We'll talk to him at 1:30.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.